Hello, welcome to Vox Pop on WAMC. It's about 2:28, and we'll have a truncated edition of Cars with Gordon Fricke today. Gordon is the owner and operator of Barber and Fricke Automotive Incorporated, an independent repair, towing, and used car facility in Hoosick Falls, New York. Gordon has been in the automotive repair and service industry for more than 30 years. And if you have a question, feel free, 800-348-2551. We will try to keep them moving. 800-348-2551. You can email as well at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Yeah, and, you know, half a Fricke is better than no Fricke at all, right? Listen, before we get started with the show, let me just remind you that the lockbox is open. The news changes every day. WAMC is here to help you make sense of it. You can't afford to miss the most important stories, and WAMC can't afford to miss our essential funding goals. That's why giving during this lockbox really matters. Early support means fewer interruptions, more programming during our February drive, and you're going to get that. We're working hard on giving you plenty of programming this drive to keep you interested after you've made that pledge. And before we've made our goal, which is a big one, the lockbox is doing very well, thanks to everybody who has done their thing already. But if you haven't done yours, WAMC.org, and support this station that, you know, we built this together, all of us, and we want to keep it going regardless of what happens in Washington or anywhere else. We're pretty strong. WAMC.org to make your online pledge. All right, back to the show. Gordon Fricke is here. Gordon, thanks for hanging around while the governor finished up today.
Well, you're welcome, Ray. And so I attempted to get on a landline, which few people have anymore. We still have one at home. And I plugged it in and I called, and your guy couldn't hear me.
No, he answered. You couldn't hear him.
Yes. No, I'm on a different
phone. Oh, he couldn't hear you.
On a cell phone now.
Oh. All right,
he couldn't
enough.
Hear me, so
all right.
Let's hope the cell phone holds up.
Well, I appreciate you doing the show, or half the show anyway. The number is 800-348-2551. I started getting scared because we have been getting emails since yesterday for this show. So we'll just get right to the emails now. We'll try to keep it as quick as we can go and get as many in as we can before the top of the hour. This is from Long Distance Listener, who lives in North Chicago and was made aware of the program by his brother, who lives in Schenectady. He encouraged him to listen a couple years back, and he fell in love with the show. Here's the issue. Quote, I own a 2023 Genesis GV80 3.5 turbo. About 9 months ago, I began to experience a humming, whining noise from the rear of the vehicle at speeds between 30 and 50. The dealer picked up the vehicle for service, subsequently returned it, stating, and you've heard this one, couldn't replicate the issue. I waited 2 months, tried again, same result, same response. 30 days later, the humming and whining became very pronounced, and this time the dealer acknowledged the issue and advised that they have retorqued the rear differential lock nut to factory spec. When they returned the vehicle, the humming whining was improved but still noticeable, so I waited another month until the humming and whining were once again very pronounced. Again, the dealer acknowledged the issue, replaced the rear differential. The whining was gone, but the vibration, like driving over a cobblestone road, was still there. So the dealer once again picked up the vehicle and performed another alignment. They stated that they performed an alignment after replacing the differential, but I have my doubts, and rebalanced the tire. Whew. My question, I'm still experiencing the vibration at speeds between 32 and 48 miles per hour. The dealer is still at a loss. I'm not sure what other avenues I should pursue. Note, for the first 2.5 years, the drive was outstanding. Well, that was a long email to kick us off, Gordon.
Yeah.
Let me know if you need any rereads.
Yeah, just repeat the whole thing, would you, Ray? No. So what I always recommend, and it's very possible that this emailer already did this, but when you've got a noise that may not be totally apparent, go to the dealer and ask if one of the personnel, a service advisor or a shop foreman or a test technician, somebody can go with you. So everybody's on the same page from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking maybe he dropped it off, stated there was a noise, tech drove it, said, I don't hear anything. gave it back, and that probably wasted a bunch of trips.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this next stage, he should go to the dealership, make an appointment, and get in the car with somebody so everybody is on the same wavelength as to the sound.
Yeah.
The repair, well, it sounds like there might be enough mileage on the car now where maybe it's a tire issue at this point. Could it have a damaged wheel from a pothole? All that stuff's got to be ruled out.
Okay.
To see if there's anything further.
All right. I
think it's going to require some persistence. And if the vehicle is still under warranty, which it sounds like it is, when too many attempts fail at the dealer, the factory needs to get involved. You know, the regional service manager for this was a Genesis product.
Yeah, it was 2023.
Which is it's a Hyundai division, and you know, maybe at that point they got to call the factory guy in.
Okay.
But it's going to require some persistence.
All right. Dennis in Saratoga writes, I have breakers and a pull start generator to electrify the important stuff in my house if the power fails, like the furnace, well pump, sump, kitchen. I keep 91 octane gas in the tank with stabilizer, change the oil every 2 to 3 years. I have not needed to run the generator since the last change. How long is too long to wait and change gas and oil? It's dry and inside a cool but not freezing insulated garage. Am I damaging the engine?
Well, if you had a standby generator that's connected to your house, you know, a whole house generator,
yeah,
they're on a they run a test, and I'm not sure. I don't have one, but I'm sure there's a lot of callers out there that can tell us how often those do a test cycle. In other words, they start. I believe they do everything. They unhook the house. They power the house, so they actually work for a period of time. So they get constant exercise,
yeah.
So you know they're up and running.
A little jog.
As far as the gas powered one that he's got, you know, as a standby, he did mention 91 octane gas. My key there is also ethanol free.
Yeah.
Extremely important to keep ethanol out of small engines that sit around forever like that. But I don't see why running that once a month wouldn't be a bad idea. And make it power things. Don't just start the engine and let it run without generating. Make it work. Make it power stuff.
Okay.
Maybe once every 2 months, whatever. You know, I'm sure the manufacturer of the generator has a suggestion, but I would definitely operate that unit on a regular basis.
All right. This email from Tom and Gardner. On my 2013 Ford Explorer, the engine light comes on for a few days, then it's off for many months after. How come? Good luck.
Well, yeah, a lot of reasons for a check engine light, but we do know that they're all emissions driven. That's what why it says. It shouldn't even say check engine. It should say emissions warning or something like that, because it scares people.
Yep.
Check engine. Am I
sure
out of
does.
Oil?
Yeah.
Did a piston just come through the hood? You know, what's going on with the engine?
Yeah.
But gas caps. And the seal between the gas cap and the filler neck are extremely common. We see a lot of corrosion on the filler neck where the gas cap screws down and tightens up on.
Right.
And a lot of, you know, anybody at home can do that. You can clean that up with maybe a Scotch-Brite pad, or some mild sandpaper, depending how rusty it is. And then get that nice and clean afterwards and put a little film of synthetic grease or lithium grease, something that'll really improve that seal. A lot of times that takes care of that phantom check engine light.
All right, Jeffrey writes in, why? Okay. All right, well, we're going to ask the mechanic this anyway. Jeffrey writes, why is it so expensive to have my car evaluated for a dashboard warning light? Is this the norm nowadays? Enjoy,
well,
Gordon, enjoy.
Yeah, I know. So, some dealerships, I guess we'll start there, started mandating minimum charges.
Yeah.
So whatever they do is charged out in an hour. So change a light bulb, plug it in and scan for a check engine light.
Right.
I guess you could even go so far as putting wipers on. I don't know, but it's so you have expensive equipment. to diagnose these vehicles. And the higher level up you go, the more expensive the stuff gets. So if you're spending $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on diagnostic equipment,
right,
you can't plug everybody's car in for free and tell them why the light's on and suggest what might fix it. So it's
okay.
I do believe there should be a charge involved. Some are quite excessive that I've been made aware of. But yeah, that's why. All right. It's expensive equipment. And yes, you can go to the parts store and they'll plug it in and they'll read your code. And
or you can get a reader. I mean,
or you can get a reader and you can go from as low as, you know, $30 or $40, you know, on up to as high as you want.
Yeah.
The key is to fixing the problem, and the code description does not often tell you what the problem is. It doesn't say this code says replace oxygen sensor number, you know, bank one, sensor two.
Right.
It just says we've discovered that sensor is not working right. There's something going on. It could be the circuitry. It could be the sensor. It could be the wiring, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Okay. Don in Old Forge writes in. I tell you what, we'll do an email or two more, then we'll take a short break, and then we'll get to the phones. Gordon Fricke is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Don in Old Forge writes, I have a 2017 Honda CR-V. For the last several months, I have periodically had the instrument panel light up like a Christmas tree, indicating multiple issues. When I read the codes with a code reader, it points to the electric brake booster and electric servo brake lost communication. I've noticed no braking issues. I have previously replaced front and rear pads, rotors, bled the brake system until I got fresh fluid at each caliper. I'm reluctant to go to a Honda dealer and wonder if you think that an independent auto shop has the necessary equipment, electronic and otherwise, to diagnose this without replacing unnecessary parts. Do you think rebleeding the system might help? And that's from Don way up in Old Forge.
Yeah. Could be a lot of snow up there right now.
I betcha.
Lake effect. So the code that he described was a communication code. And what that means is the modules in the vehicle, and just even that Honda CR-V could have, I don't know, 10, 12, 13, 14 modules all linked together communicating.
Yeah.
So the engine's one of them. The transmission's another one. The instrument cluster, heating and AC, and brake electronics, and I think that's what he was having a code for. And if it's a communication error, it could be connections, wiring, bad wire, mouse chewed through one,
yeah,
or a component that is not allowing the data to flow through the data stream, the bus signal to all the other modules. So that's a lot of jibber jabber saying that, yes, an independent shop with high-end equipment and that does work like this could potentially handle it.
Okay.
However, it could be Honda territory,
right?
Because it could be a module problem. And then you go into coding and, you know, parts, you can't just buy a module and plug it in. It has to be coded and introduced to the vehicle. So it might be a trip to the dealer.
All right. Well, you know, there are so many parts, and there are so many things that can go wrong that didn't go wrong. All right.
Hey, I got one quick question.
All right.
What would Roger think of that last description of that problem?
He would say this is much too complicated.
Yeah.
Cars should be simpler.
He's right.
Exactly. All right, let's take a quick break here. Gordon Fricke is our guest. We'll get to the phones in a moment. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing a continuum of care for seniors, offering them opportunities to live and age gracefully with dignity and respect. DaughtersofSarah.org. The Hyde Collection in Glens Falls, featuring fake plants and other curiosities, a solo exhibition by contemporary artist Nina Kachadorian throughout historic Hyde House, on view through March 8th, HydeCollection.org. And New York Family Mediation Rhinebeck, working to resolve custody and divorce disputes with mediation professionals serving all of New York State. Details at nymediates.com.
Thad Jones and Slipped Again here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Gordon Fricke is with us via the telephone today. He was going to come in, but we weren't sure how long the governor was going to go. So I think it was a good plan, Gordon, right?
Yeah, it worked out quite well because other than, and I should have consulted in Zach Malloy because I have a landline that I had all ready to go,
yep.
Plugged it in, tested it, the lights lit up. I picked up the receiver, I guess you call it back in those days.
Yeah.
And when I called in, he couldn't hear me.
No.
So well, I panicked for a cord, didn't have another cord, and said, well, we're going on the cell phone. So it worked.
It sounds terrific. And I got to tell you, I saw on my screen you call just as I was about to start the show. And so there was momentary panic of how I was going to filibuster until you finally got through. This line sounds great, though. So let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. David and Tivoli, you're on. Go ahead.
Maybe he's got phone problems.
David and Tivoli, you're on.
Hello?
Hello? Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah,
you're on.
Okay.
Yes. Hello?
I'm talking about a Honda.
Okay.
2011 CRZ that an IMA light came on. I brought it to the dealer, and they plugged it in for $180 and said that the battery needs to be changed, I think.
Okay.
I just put the battery in over the summer. And they won't tell me what IMA means.
IMA.
But they say they think it.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So it's 2011 Honda CRV, right? 2011 Honda CRV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. IME light.
Yep.
Did you get most of that, Gordon?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah. So I believe that's some type of a management system for powering things in the vehicle. And I believe it is sensing, I think it senses low voltage, and ordinarily it's the fault of the battery, but there's also a sensor on the, I believe it's on the negative side of that battery. It could be wrong. Some cars have them on both ends, but it's there to measure the load on the battery, what the car is drawing, and it watches the voltage and all that. I guess it. So after they did they replace the battery, and is the IMA light now off?
No, they did not replace it because I just did it, and
yep.
The car starts up every morning, no problem. 5 minutes down the road, the light comes on. Sometimes it goes off, sometimes it comes back on.
Huh.
So is it the sensor, possibly?
It's possible that the information to the computer regarding the system is failing. Did they give you any more information other than what it might be besides the battery, or did they want to do the battery, and when you said, no, I just did it, they were done?
That's what they wanted to do, but I'm like, but it starts, there's no problem with it.
Right. Did you get the battery from one of the major auto parts stores, or did you get it at a, you know, off the shelf somewhere?
No, I got it
auto
from
parts store.
An auto parts. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they generally will test batteries. In fact, not generally, they always will test batteries. What was it, Advance or O'Reilly, or where'd you get the battery?
That's my two names, right? I prefer not to do names of the actual companies.
Yeah. So I guess my thought is let them go to where you bought the battery and say that you had the car at the dealer for this warning light and they indicated the battery. If they've got a good electronic tester, which they should, maybe there is a glitch in that battery that is not causing you to have starting problems.
Uh-huh.
Could have a weak cell that's being covered up because the battery is so new. Maybe it is a battery. And if it is, see if their equipment can pick up that it's a faulty battery, and you might get a replacement free of charge if that's the case.
Well, if you're lucky. David, thanks a lot for that one. 800-348-2551 is our number. Gordon Fricke joins us today on a half-length edition of Vox Pop. And let's see. Now, we'll go to Joe and Troy. I'm looking at the subject heading here, Joe. I only ask that you do not name the shop in question. We don't want to do that. If you do, I'll hit the dump button and hit the seven-second delay. All right, Joe?
Good enough. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, I bought a minivan, and I won't even name the brand, but it's still under warranty. It's only a couple years old. I picked it up last fall and ran it for 2-3 weeks, and then I noticed that the air conditioner seemed to be a little bit on the mild side. I looked in the book, and it said, well, when the vehicle's in the economy mode, the air conditioner doesn't work as hard. So I said, okay. Well, it got a hot a few weeks later, about 3-4 weeks after I bought it. Took the vehicle out of economy mode, and the air conditioning didn't improve. I've had this problem before, so I bought some coolant and measured how much pressure was in the system, and it was just a little bit on the low side. So I added some Freon to it, coolant.
Yep.
AC was working perfect. So I notified the dealership, you know, hey, you guys left it a little bit low, blah, blah, blah. You know, give me a cover to coolant because it's very expensive stuff for this particular vehicle. Didn't get any response.
What year is the vehicle?
2022, but it has a 5-year warranty, so it's still got a 1 year left on it.
Right. So what is the refrigerator? Is it R134A or 1234?
1234.
You remember? Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Very expensive.
It was very expensive. It worked great for a week, and then it gave out again. It started, you know, not being cool again. So I contacted the dealership. I said, hey, I think we've got a problem. They said, okay, run it up. I ran it up. They ran some tests on it, and I told them what I had done. And they said, oh, you added Freon to it. You contaminated the system. I said, no, I bought the stuff that calls for underneath the hood. They said, oh, no, you got stuff with the sealant in it in case it leaks. I said, well, that's what they were selling. Well, that's going to contaminate our system. We're going to charge you $260 to drain it.
Ouch.
One thing led to another. Then they called me back and said, oh, there's damage to this vehicle. I said, well, what do you mean damage? He said, underneath, the piping is damaged. I said, well, it's a minivan. I didn't go off-road riding with this thing. They said, well, we got to replace a pipe.
Oh,
okay.
Heavens.
Do what you got to do. Next step, they called me back and they said, oh, the wrong pipe came in. It's going to be a couple more days. Okay. Finally, it's ready on a Friday to pick it up at 5 o'clock. I go up to pick it up. They replaced not only what was supposed to be a damaged pipe, they put in the pipe that was the wrong one that came in, and they replaced the evaporator box that's in the back of the vehicle to the tune of
$2,400.
$2,000? What? Ouch.
Yeah, that he's got rear air, and the leak could have been coming from the rear air because that's not an uncommon area to leak.
There is dye, because they put dye in it, where the connections were, because I took back the old parts, because I was really ticked off when I went to pick it up late on a Friday. I said, I'm paying for this under protest. And I said, I want the old parts. I brought the parts home, pressure tested them with a water system and all. I couldn't find a leak in it anywhere. And the only place that had dye was around where the connections are. And I had a feeling it was just leaking around one of the connections, and they tagged me for a whole thing.
Ouch.
The end of my question is, where can you go with the parts to get them analyzed? Is there a state office? I went to New York State DMV. They have an agency that says we'll help you with troubled repair shops. Well, they want me to go to another repair shop to get testified that the parts are still good. Well, not too many dealerships are going to do that for you because their name goes on the line.
Okay. So is there a place he can go? It's kind of a long call. So, Gordon, what do you think here?
Well, unfortunately, the DMV is correct that it's got to go to another shop, an outside party that knows nothing about anything here. But to test, what they replaced was was the evaporator in the rear of the vehicle. So you have to rig up, you have to pressurize it to the amount of pressure that it would be under while it's being used in the hot summer. And now you're checking for a leak. So you have to spray it or submerge it. That's a lot of work, and it's very difficult to rig up that type of a test. Certainly can be done, but it's going to be really hard to find somebody that can do that.
Yeah. And does he have any legal recourse? I mean, you're not a lawyer, obviously, but we'll have to move it along after this. So
what I would do is go back to DMV, the Motor Vehicle Department, and say, this is impractical. Nobody can test this thing. Can we come to an agreement with Shop A, and let's just settle this? And they will be the intermediary. They'll go to Shop A, the first, you know, the shop that you're having trouble with, and they say, look, the guy's complaining. Will you guys oblige and help him out? Give him half off or do something? I think your only way out of this is to negotiate it down.
Well, sorry about that one, Joe. Let's go to Gary in Colebrook. Gary, you're on.
Hey, I have a 2024 Camry, Toyota Camry, and I put a lot of miles on it, but it's all highway miles. And I pride myself in driving without my foot on the brake pedal, you know, especially at highway speeds. And I ran into a situation where my rear brakes were just shot at 30,000 miles, which I have never seen that in my life. Usually the rear brakes go longer than the front ones do. And I'm just kind of curious, is that something we're seeing on these cars, or?
Were they replaced because of excessive rust on the rotors, or were they worn out?
The pads were completely gone, and the rotors were all pitted and worn.
Yeah, yeah. What we see a lot, we do see cars today wearing the rear brakes faster than the fronts. And a lot of it is debris, salt, and road grime getting on those rear rotors because they're behind all of the spray. So the rotors tend to get rusty quicker on the rear. When the rotors start to get rusty, they can beat the pads up, and your vehicle might just be a vehicle that is tougher on rear brakes than what you're accustomed to. To answer your question, we do get cars in with that kind of mileage that need brakes. 30 to 50 is probably a decent range for rear. Some last longer. I've seen some go quicker, but it could be a corrosion issue, and if the shields are good, which they have to be on a car that new, there isn't much you can do except when you get new pads and rotors, you should get the best rotors you can get. High carbon metal and coated, not just painted, and that will make them last as long as they can.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot. We only have a minute or so here on this very short edition of Vox Pop with Gordon Fricke. Andrew, make it fast, my friend.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. My question is not really a mechanical one. I have two cars that I own. One is a RAV4 hybrid. Other one is a Volvo S60 T6. They both have approximately close to 50,000 miles. Unfortunately, I'm a widower now, and I want to sell one car because I don't need two cars at once. They're both very different cars. The SUV is a little more comfortable ride. The Volvo is an incredible riding car. In terms of cost of upkeep and repair histories, etc., I'm trying to figure out which will be the best car to sell.
Okay, I think we can do that. You have about 20 seconds, Gordon.
Yeah. So, as a general rule, the Toyota is going to give you less trouble over the life of the vehicle than most anything else. Volvo's a good vehicle. They're a little bit higher tech, and they're more expensive to repair. I think I would say the Toyota is going to be cheaper and last longer, but what vehicle do you like the most? Because that has something to do with it. If you hate driving the RAV4, but you love driving the Volvo, you have to throw that factor in also.
True enough, and I will have to leave it there. Gordon Fricke, very quickly, Russ wrote in, can a small nail hole in a tire be patched properly by a dealer? After it's patched, can the vehicle be driven safely at highway speeds?
if the injury was in the tread groove, inside of the outer major tread groove, so in other words, it's got to be in the center tread of the tire somewhere.
Yeah.
And the puncture wasn't too large, and there's charts, mm-hmm. and you use a combination plug patch.
Yeah.
It can last the life of the tire, and it is a authorized repair.
All right, buddy, we are out of time. Sorry for the half show, but then yeah, that was fast.
Yeah, we hammered that through in a half hour, didn't we?
Yeah, we'll see you next month. Support comes from Fatigan's Nursery, Latham, home to 3-year-round greenhouses featuring a variety of tropical houseplants, orchids, succulents, botanically inspired home decor and gifts. Fatigans.com. At Plaza Travel Center, presenting a small group trip from Albany to Patagonia and Argentina in October, escorted by Gene Gagnon. For trip details, gene@plazatravel.net. Thanks again to Gordon Fricke for sticking around and being on the show today. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Ed Rosen screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Dan DeLore will be back to talk about climate change and emerging green energy tech. We'll see you at 2:00.